You can let them know which one you would like. Well, glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Turn to your neighbor and say, God wants to move through you. God wants to move through you. Our main text for our series that we have been on for, I believe, 8 or 9 weeks now is John chapter 14, verse 12. That is our main text for this series. And I will be reading first from the King James translation. And it says, verily, verily, I say unto you. And who is this talking? Jesus. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me. Do we believe on him? So this is talking about us, right? Turn to your neighbor and say, hey, it's talking about you. Jesus said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And we all say, that's me. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. The International Standard Version reads this way. Truly, I tell you, I tell all of you emphatically. I like the way it says it that way. I tell all of you emphatically, the one who believes in me will also do what I'm doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. The God's Word translation, it says, I can guarantee this truth. Those who believe in me will do the things that I am doing. They will do even greater things because I am going to the Father. Someone say, that's me. The Contemporary English Version says, I tell you for certain that if you have faith in me, and we do, right? You will do the same things that I am doing. You will do even greater things now that I'm going back to the Father. And finally, the Young's Literal Translation. It says, verily, verily, I say to you. Is he wanting us to get the point here? Obviously, he doesn't just say verily once, twice, verily, verily, truly, truly, most assuredly, right? I say to you, he who is believing in me, the works that I do, that one also shall do, and greater than these shall he shall do, because I go unto my Father. Hallelujah. This is good news. This is great news for us. So, let's briefly review what we have covered so far in our series. The first night we started, our title was this, Just Like Jesus. That is our goal, to be just like him. We're supposed to be, we can be just like him, right? Ephesians 4 verses 11, 12 and 13 says, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Are we the saints? Why do we need perfection? For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness. Everyone say the fullness. Fullness of Christ, just like Jesus, right? Jesus, when he was here on this earth, he ministered on earth as a man anointed with the Spirit of God. We know this from Acts chapter 10, verse 38. It says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Jesus' earthly ministry did not begin until after he had received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. When John baptized him, and when he came up out of the water, and it says that the Holy Spirit descended upon him in the form like that of a dove. Now that's found in Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. When he was here on this earth, God moved through Jesus. He preached through Jesus. He taught through Jesus. He healed through Jesus. He raised the dead through Jesus. He set those that were demon-possessed through Jesus. God did. God moved through Jesus when he was here on this earth. When Jesus ascended, he gave the disciples the same authority, but then he also told the authority in his name, but then he also told them to wait to be endued with power from on high, right? That's in Acts chapter 1. They received the endowment of power in Acts chapter 2, and then they too, Peter and Paul and John, they too, God was able to move through them. They healed. God healed through them. God taught through them. God saved through them. And Jesus is no longer here. Peter and John are no longer here. Paul is no longer here. Stephen is no longer here. But you are. Turn to your name and say, but you are. But you are here. We are here. And this is our turn. It's our turn now. We are now. God wants to move through us now. Pastor John said this, who else is he going to use? Who else is he going to use? We were created in the image and in the likeness of God, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. We have God-given, God-ability to do God's will. You do. Right? If you're saved, if you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you have God's ability on the inside of you to do the will of God. John chapter 6 verse 38 says, Jesus says, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And the next Friday, our third Friday, Pastor Arthur taught on how Jesus was God on display. When Jesus was here on this earth, he was all about doing the will of God. We're still reviewing. He was all about doing the will of God. In John chapter 14 verse 10 from the Amplified Classic Translation, it reads this way. Do you not believe that I am in the Father? The Father is in me. What I am telling you, I do not say of my own authority and of my own accord. But the Father who lives continually in me does the works, his own miracles and deeds of power. Jesus was God on display, and he was you and I on display. Yes, he came to reveal the will of God, but also to show us who we're supposed to be. Pastor Junior then shared on the following Friday on yielding to him. Jesus was constantly receiving direction and instruction from God, and when he did, when Jesus received an instruction from God, he yielded to that instruction by saying what God told him to say and by doing what God told him to do. John chapter 12, verse 49, it says, for I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. I'll just read from the Amplified Classic, verse 49. It says, this is because I have never, this is Jesus talking, I have never spoken on my own authority or of my own accord or as self-appointed, but the Father who sent me has himself given me orders concerning what to say and what to tell. Jesus was constantly receiving direction from God, and he was constantly yielding to God, saying what God wanted him to say, doing what God wanted him to do. God was able to move through Jesus so freely and easily because Jesus was completely, completely yielded to him. Yielding to God is our choice. It's your choice. God is not going to force us to yield to him. God is not going to force us to yield to his plan and his will. We have to make that choice. Every day we are faced with that choice. The same way we choose to ask him into our hearts and make him our Lord and our Savior is the same way we must choose to yield to him every single day for the rest of our lives. Revelation chapter 3 verse 20, it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me." He is knocking. His voice giving you direction, giving you instruction. That is him knocking. The knocking is his voice. And whether you open up the door, whether you yield to him or not, that's your choice. That's my choice. He says in Romans chapter 6 verse 16, "Do you not know that if you continually surrender yourselves to anyone to do his will, you are the slaves of him whom you obey, whether that be to sin which leads to death or to obedience which leads to righteousness." And if we back up to verse 13, he tells us, "Neither yield ye your members." It's, we do that. We're the ones in charge of who we're yielding to or what we're yielding to. But he's telling us here in verse 13, "Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." So who we yield to is our choice. Yield to him. Yield to him. Turn to your name and say, yield to God. Pastor John, on the next Friday, which is the sixth Friday, he shared with us on being willing and desiring to manifest. We need to be willing and desiring for God to manifest. If we are not willing and desiring for God to manifest through us, then he won't. But we want him to. We want him to. And maybe tonight your answer is, no, I don't want God to move through me. Then I encourage you to keep coming. Keep your heart open and keep coming and receiving the word, the seed of the word of God. And as you do, the desire for him to move through you will grow. We know from the word of God that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Believing that he wants to move through you and can move through you will get stronger and stronger the more you hear and see from the word of God the way God moved through men and women that have come before us. So keep coming. Maybe tonight your answer is, no, I don't want God to move through me. Keep coming. Keep coming and keep your heart open to the word of God. You do want God to move through you. You do want to. You do want to. Like we said with Peter, when he was a fisherman, wasn't he? He was a fisherman. And when Jesus called him to leave and follow him, he left. He left his family. He left his business. And he followed Jesus wholeheartedly. And later on in the scriptures, we see in the book of Acts, Peter's shadow healing the sick. That didn't happen with Jesus. There is no instance of Jesus' shadow healing the sick. But Peter, Jesus said, "The works that I do, you shall do also, and greater." Greater works. Peter's shadow was healing the sick. Do you think that on that day when that was happening, Peter stood there thinking, "Man, I never should have left my fishing business. What was I thinking? I left my fishing business. I walked away from all of that so that my shadow could heal the..." No. There's no better place to be than to be the vessel, the pipeline that God uses to make someone else's dream come true. No better place. So yeah, you do want God to move through you. You do want him to. On the next Friday, Pastor Arthur taught on how Jesus regained what man lost. Romans chapter 5 verse 12 tells us, "Therefore, as sin came into the world through one man, and death as a result of sin, so death spread to all men, no one being able to stop it or to escape its power, because all men sinned." Verse 17, "For if because of one man's trespass, lapse, offense, death reigned through that one, much more surely will those who receive God's overflowing grace, unmerited favor, and the free gift of righteousness, putting them into right standing with himself, reign as kings in life through the one man, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one." Verse 18, "Well then, as one man's trespass, one man's false step and falling away led to condemnation for all men, so one man's act of righteousness leads to the acquittal and right standing with God and life for all men." Hallelujah. Say it with me. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus. Then on our last Friday together, which was Good Friday, we remembered the one and only sacrifice that took away the sins of the world. Pastor Junior took us through what the devil did not know. He always overplays his hand, and his plan to stop the plan of God by killing Jesus backfired big time, didn't it? And instead of him stopping the plan of God by killing Jesus, the devil gave Jesus the opportunity to strip him of all his power, to spoil principalities and rulers, to make a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Glory to God. Jesus finished and completed to the fullest the plan of God for his life. How about us? How about you? Do you want to complete and finish to the fullest the plan of God for your life? Yes, I do. I do. I believe that we have well established this truth from the written word with the help of the Holy Spirit, the living word, that God wants to move through us. But what we are endeavoring to know and understand and act on is our part. Is our part. We know God wants to move through us, but why isn't he able to move through us like he was able to move through Jesus and the disciples and the patriarchs? Because just like Jesus and the disciples and the patriarchs, we too have a part to play in God being able to move through us. We're not waiting on God. We are not waiting on God. He's waiting on us. A few of the things that we have seen so far from the Word of God that enabled God to move through Jesus so freely was, Jesus was completely yielded to him. He only said what God told him to say and only did what God told him to do. He was all about the will of God. Jesus was also anointed. He was empowered. He ministered as a man, anointed with the Holy Spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit, just like the disciples were. Jesus is our ultimate example in life and in ministry. He is our standard. You've heard us say that over and over again, right? Jesus was God on display, but also you and I on display. If we want to become experts in our part, in God being able to move through us so freely like he did through Jesus, then we need to pay very close attention to Jesus. To what he did, the way he did them, the things he said, how he said them, and so on and so forth. Let's look at something that he says to us in Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Our title for this evening is Learn of Me. Learn of Me. Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. I'll be reading first from the King James Version. It says, Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. The NIV translation reads this way, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. One more translation, the Amplified Classic translation. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle, meek, and humble, lowly in heart. Now, can we be just like him? Do we want to be just like him? Yes, we do. Of all the things that Jesus could have said here, of all the things he could have said here, he could have said, learn of me, for I am perfect. Learn of me, for I am holy. Learn of me, for I am powerful. Learn of me, for I am righteous. And man, there's so many things he could have said, isn't there? He could have said many things, but the thing that he emphasized when he said, learn of me, is I am humble and I am lowly of heart. It is not because he couldn't think of anything else to say. No, this is exactly what God wanted him to say. Our level of humility is directly connected to how much God is able to use us. What is the opposite of humility? Pride. The Bible tells us in James chapter 4 verse 6 that God resists the proud. Humility qualifies us for grace, and we need grace. We want grace in order to do what God has called us to. So we don't ever, ever want to yield to pride. Never. Because what happens to those that are proudful? They get resisted. Our level of humility is directly connected to us experiencing more of the manifestations of the glory of God. Our humility is directly connected to God being able to move through us more and more. You see, in a lot of people's minds, when they hear the word humble, they think weak. But nothing could be further from the truth. Jesus was and is humble. He's the perfect picture of humility. Of all the things that he could have told us to learn from him, he said, "Learn from me. I am meek and lowly in heart." He wanted us to learn meekness and humility, and nothing about Jesus was weak. When we realize what kind of love and strength it took to do what he did, there was nothing weak about it at all. You see, it is much easier to be proud than it is to be humble. It is much easier to hate when you are being mistreated than it is to love. And Jesus was able to demonstrate the greatest demonstration of love ever when he went to the cross like a lamb being led to the slaughter without a sound. That took humility. Pride would have yelled back, "I don't deserve this. I've done nothing wrong. These are your sins that I'm being punished for." But he took the blame and he took it silently. Isaiah says that he opened not his mouth. Humble, humble. He took our punishment. He did nothing wrong. He never committed a sin. Yet he paid the price for all the sins of mankind. And he did so silently. What a great demonstration of love and humility. Pride would have insisted that they did nothing wrong. "No, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. I'm right." But see, when you're wrong and you make a mistake, it takes strength to own your wrong and smile and say, "Yes, you're right, I'm wrong, forgive me." It takes even greater strength and greater humility to take the blame for someone else's mistake. For someone else's sin. And that's exactly what Jesus did for us. That's exactly what he did for us. Talk about humility and love. He said, "Learn of me. Learn of me, for I am meek and humble in heart." Humility is not weakness. Don't let the devil sell that lie to you anymore. It takes a lot more strength to be humble than it is to yield to pride. Numbers chapter 12. Numbers chapter 12, verse 3. It says, "Now Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth." Moses was the most humble man on the earth. And he was also the most used man of God in his generation. We can say that Moses was the most humble man on the earth in his generation. He was also the most graced man in his generation. The most graced with the presence of God. The most graced with light. The most graced with power. The most graced with revelation. The most graced with opportunities to be used by God. It is not a coincidence that the most humble man was also the most used man by God. It's not a coincidence. One thing that we see about Moses multiple times in the Bible, and we don't have time to go through all of them, but if you ever want to study the life of Moses, I encourage you to do so. Or come to Rhema. One thing that we see, we actually have a class called Old Testament Survey. But one of the things that we see about Moses multiple times in the Bible is this phrase: "As the Lord told Moses, so did Moses." As the Lord told Moses, so did Moses. All the instructions that God gave Moses, you see that phrase: "As the Lord commanded Moses, so did Moses." And Moses did according to all that the Lord told him to do. Time and time again. You will find the same thing said about Abraham. The same thing said about Noah. The same thing said about the other patriarchs. The Lord told them and they did it. The Lord said something and they did it. just like Jesus, right? One of the greatest indications of humility or the lack thereof is a person's ability to follow instructions and to do what they are told. It sounds very simple, but when flesh and pride and rebellion and fear come in, it is not so simple. How was God able to move through the patriarchs the way he did through Jesus? They were humble. How do we know that? Because they did what God told them to do. Moses did. Abraham did. Now, they missed it. There were times when they missed it. But more than they missed it, they did it. They did. And Moses, Abraham, Noah, and Jesus, our greatest example of all. Jesus never missed it. John chapter 8, verse 29. Let's go there. John chapter 8, verse 29. It says, "And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." Jesus said, what? "I do always those things that please him." Do always those things that please him. Remember, we said that one of the greatest indicators of humility is doing what we are told to do. Go to chapter 14 of John. Go to chapter 14 of John, verse 21. Verse 21, I'll read first from the King James Version, and then I'll read from the Amplified Classic Translation. He says, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." Amplified Classic, "The person who has my commands and keeps them is the one who really loves me. And whoever really loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and will show, reveal, manifest myself to him. I will let myself be clearly seen by him and make myself real to him." Who is he going to manifest, reveal, and let himself be clearly seen by? The one who loves him. How does he know we love him? When we keep his commandments. Saying I love you doesn't mean that we love him. If we say I love you, God, but we're not doing what he's told us to do, we don't love him. As far as God is concerned, how do we prove to him we love him? When we do what he's told us to do. He says, "He that has my commands and keeps them is the one who really loves me." And that is the one that he'll manifest and reveal himself to. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 32. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 32. Go with me there, or it'll be on the screen. But remember, we're talking about Jesus saying, "Learn of me." What, Jesus? What do you want me to learn? "I am meek and lowly in heart," humble in heart, humility. Our level of humility is directly connected to how much God is able to move through us. And one of the greatest indicators of humility is doing what God tells us to do. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 32. "What things soever I command you, observe to do it." What things soever I command you, observe to read about it. No, do it. Turn to your name and say, do it. "Whatsoever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it." 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. Don't turn there for the sake of time, but I'll read it to you. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2 from the Living Bible Translation. It says, "Now the most important thing about a servant," and are we his servants? "Is that he does just what his master tells him to." Just what his master tells him to. That is humility. Pride is not good at following instructions. Pride always has a better way. And so one of the things that we will find in common with all of these that God was able to move through mightily is their humility. One of the greatest indicators of humility is doing what we are told to do, just like Jesus, right? is developing in humility vital if we want God to be able to move through us? Yes, absolutely. And we can develop in humility. Some people are more humble than others. Notice when we read about Moses, it said he was more humble than any other man, which means he wasn't the only humble man. There were other humble men, but Moses was more humble than all of them. So there are different levels of humility. You can be more humble tomorrow than you are right now. You can be more humble next week than you are right now. And our level of humility is directly connected to God being able to move through us. All of these humble men that we read about in the Bible were very good at doing what God told them to do. Should this be a big deal to us? Oh, yes, absolutely. We should be serious about being doers of the word, about keeping his commands. It's a big deal to God. I know that much. It's a big deal to him. Go with me to Exodus chapter 16. Exodus chapter 16. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. And we're not going to read through the whole story. It's a very familiar story. We're going to pick up in verse 3. But here we see the Israelites in the wilderness. And this is after their deliverance from Egypt. Now keep in mind, they're in the wilderness. There's no supermarkets, no markets of any kind. No Frankie's, no Farmer Joe's, no Princesa. There's no plantations. There's no wilderness vendors around. So in verse 3, where we're going to pick up, we see the Israelites having a pity party. Yes. But let's not point a finger, because, you know, we've had a lot of those ourselves. But not anymore, right? Exodus 16, verse 3. And the children of Israel said to them, "Oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat and when we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Murmuring, complaining, right? Then the Lord said to Moses, verse 4, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not." The Living Bible, verse 4, the Lord said to Moses, "Look, I'm going to rain down food from heaven for them. Everyone can go out each day and gather as much food as he needs, and I will test them in this." Who is this talking? God. "I will test them in this to see whether they will follow my instructions or not." What is one of the greatest indicators of humility? Following instructions. One more translation, Amplified. He says, "The people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day so that I may test them to determine whether or not they will walk obediently in my instruction or law." God is testing them to see whether they will follow and obey his instructions or not. God does test you and I. He does. And he fully expects us to pass each and every one of the tests. And when we do, we qualify for more. Passing the test is us proving to God that we can handle more. If the Lord is going to do things for you and with you and through you that he is not doing for and through everybody else, he has to have a reason why. He is a just and a fair God. And the reason why he is able to do more for you and through you than everybody else is because you're passing tests that others are not passing. You obeyed when others didn't. You loved him more and his things more than others did. And if you are passing tests that others are not, then you are proving to God that he is priority in your life. When others are putting other things first, then God has every right to bless you, to promote you, to add to you, to use you in ways that he is not able to use others in. And he is perfectly righteous in doing it. It would be unjust and unrighteous of God to bless someone who is saved and habitually sinning and despising the things of God the exact same way that he is blessing someone who has given God complete control of every area of their lives. How does a pilot become a pilot? They are trained and then they are tested. The same thing with captains, the same thing with doctors, pretty much every profession, I'm sure. Well, where do you think proving and testing comes from? Not the world system, from God. Even in an army, Navy, Marines, Air Force, Coast Guard, there are different ranks. You see, when we hear about testing for doctors and pilots and captains, it's the norm. But when we hear about testing for Christians and ministers of reconciliation, it's like no, that shouldn't be. Why? If anything, we need it more than they do, because we are dealing with the spirit of people, not the intellect, not the bodies, spirits. If anyone needs to be proven more, it's us. How do you get from being a private to a private second class? Those are two different ranks in the army. By accident? By doing whatever you want? Absolutely not. The same is true with any other profession. You don't just go from being an intern to the head surgeon. Why? You gotta train and you gotta pass the test and then you gotta train some more and then you gotta pass a few more tests to rank up. I did a little research on ranking up in the military, and here is a military answer on how you rank up quickly in the military. And I was surprised by it, but I was very impressed by the answer. It says, competition in the military is stiff. To advance quickly, average or even slightly above average, to advance quickly or to advance average or even slightly above average, scores will not move you up in rank. Respect your superiors. Maintain punctuality and perform your tasks right the first time. You will rank up quicker in the military if you prove you want it. And how do you prove you want it? Not with your scores. Respect your superiors. Maintain punctuality. Perform your tasks right the first time. It is not right for us to expect higher standards in the military than we do for Christians, for ministers of reconciliation, whether in full-time ministry or not. We are all ministers. God is a just God, more just than any human being is just, and it is not right for us to be doing what we want to do and be half-hearted about the things of God and still expect him to move through us the same way, expect him to bless us the same way, to reward us the same way, to promote us the same way that he is blessing someone who has completely surrendered their everything to God. So many Christians are still at the very first rank. Why? Because they're still failing the same tests over and over and over again. What did God say? And I will test them in this to see whether they will follow my instructions or not. What is the test about? Whether we will do what he tells us to do or not. Whether he's always going to be number one or he's only number one when there's nothing else competing for his attention. But when something else pops up and you have to choose, which one are you going to choose? See, he needs to be always number one. Whether there's a choice to be made or no choice to be made. Many are failing tests, the same tests, over and over and over again. And then we sit and wonder, how come he's using them more than he's using me? I've been saved longer than they've been saved. Check yourself. Check ourselves. What tests are we failing at? Are we failing time and time again? God is just. He is just. He is righteous. Genesis chapter 22, verse 1. This is another instance where God tested someone. He says, now it came to pass, verse 1, after these things that God tested Abraham. And said to him, now God doesn't test us with sickness and disease. No. God tests us by giving us an instruction and then waiting to see if we will do it or not. God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. Then he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love. Go to the land of Moriah, offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I shall tell you. Verse 15, skip on down to verse 15, sorry, for the sake of time. We know what happened. Did Abraham obey? Did Abraham follow the instruction? Did he pass the test? Oh, yes, he did. Yes, he did. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing. What? Obeyed. He obeyed. He passed the test. Because you have passed the test, Abraham, and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing, I will bless you. Multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven, as the sun which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. Glory to God. This is not just in the Old Testament. We also see this in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 8. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 8, it says, therefore I urge you to reaffirm your love to him. For to this end I also wrote that I might put you to the test whether you are obedient in all things. The NIV, I urge you therefore to reaffirm your love for him. Another reason I wrote to you was to see if you would stand the test and be obedient in everything. The Passion Translation, one more translation, it says, I beg you to reaffirm your deep love for him. You see, I wrote previously in order to see if your hearts would pass the test and if you were willing to follow my counsel in everything. In everything. God has proven his love and his commitment to us. Every day that we are gifted, we are given many opportunities to prove to him our love for him. How do we prove our love for him? By keeping his commandments, by doing what he has told us to do, what he tells us to do from his written word and from his living word, the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. And that when we do that, that is one of the greatest indicators of humility. Doing what God asks us to do. Jesus, he said, Matthew 11:29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. Of all the things he could have said, and he could have said many things, he said, learn this, my humility. I am meek and lowly in heart. And it just so happens that one of the greatest indicators of humility is doing exactly what God tells us to do. Moses, the most humble man in his generation and the most used of God in his generation. Glory to God. Why don't we all stand? The most humble and the most used by God. Turn to your neighbor and say, me too. Me too. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. God wants to move through you. He has chosen you to move through. Before you were born, he chose to move through you. But we have a part to play in him being able to move through us, just like he was through Jesus, through the disciples, through the patriarchs. And humility, our level of humility, is directly connected to God being able to move through us. Let's prove to him every day for the rest of our lives. Let's pass every test and prove to God that he is the one that we love. And by passing every test, that shows humility. Because what is the greatest indicator of humility? Doing, following instructions, doing what he tells us to do. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Why don't you close your eyes and just say something to him out of your heart? Reaffirm your love to him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your word. Thank you for helping us to grow. Thank you for light and revelation and truth. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, thank you. Ma so de venne sere kia te bo. E no soara kia te bene sere via te naena hanu sere ko. Kuchere maena siete de bene. E nuva ma sara kia te ne siete de kua te ma. O soreve maena siete de bo. Moera naena hanu sere kite de be. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's your choice. Are you going to do what he tells you to do? Passing every test is up to you. Coming up in rank is up to you. It's up to you. It's up to you. Oh, but God is rooting for you. He is rooting for you. Every test, he fully expects you to pass every single one. Every single one. Thank you, Lord. We're just going to sing this song. Thank you, Father. And then we'll give an opportunity for those maybe who have never accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Or maybe you have but have gone away and done your own thing, but tonight you want to come back to him. We'll sing this song a couple of times, then we'll give that opportunity. Check your heart if that is you. We'll ask for you to raise your hand in a little bit here. But let this song, let the words of this song come from your heart and straight to God.
I wanna be more like you, Jesus. I wanna be more like you. I wanna be a vessel you work through. I wanna be more like you. I wanna be more. I wanna be more like you, Jesus.
Jesus.
I wanna be more like you. Wanna be a vessel.
I wanna be a vessel.
You work through. I wanna be more like you. Sing it again from our hearts, say. I wanna be a vessel you work through. I wanna be more like you. I wanna be a vessel. I wanna be a vessel you work through. I wanna be more like you.
With every eye closed and every head bowed, if anyone in here has never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you'd like to tonight, please raise your hand. Anyone? Thank you. Thank you, Lord. All right. Well, maybe everyone in here has made that decision before, but maybe you know in your heart between you and God that you have not been faithful to that commitment and you want to reaffirm your commitment to him tonight. And if that is you, if you'd please raise your hand now.
Anyone in here want to? I see that hand. Thank you for that hand. Thank you. Anyone else to join our sister? Thank you, Lord. Well, we'll all pray together and we affirm our commitment to Him. Say, Father God, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for making a way. Thank you for your mercy. Tonight, I recommit all that I am to you. Father, I purpose in my heart on this night of April 16th, 2021, to do whatever it takes to pass every test, to follow every instruction that you give me, to keep your commands, and to prove to you that I really do love you. Thank you for the ability, for the grace to do all that you have in store for me to do. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Lord, we love you. We love you. We love you. We love you. Thank you, Father. Well, one more opportunity before we dismiss tonight. If you are here and you have a need in your body and you would like for hands to be laid on you, maybe pain somewhere in your body, sickness is not for us. It does not belong to us. It is illegal for any area of our bodies to be in pain. So if that is you tonight and you would like for hands to be laid on you, you can receive your healing right where you stand. But we can also receive healing by the laying on of hands. But I ask that if that is you and you'd want to come to the front, come believing. Come believing Jesus is the healer. Come believing that the moment hands are laid on you, that healing, the healing power of God will go into your body. You receive it, you take it, and it's going to affect the change. So you come up believing that you're going to take your healing. Take your healing. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. We're going to sing Oh, the Glory. And if that is you tonight, please make your way to the front and I'll meet you in the front here. Oh, the glory is here. Yes, the glory is here. I can sense His mighty presence in the very atmosphere. So whatever you may need, you can just reach out and receive and say it's mine.
I can sense it.
you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All that we need, all that we could ever want, you have already provided for us. It's ours. It's ours now. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. So, Father, we give you all of the glory, all of the honor, and all of the thanksgiving, and we will never cease to praise you.